If I were to say to you that the solution to the problems in Iraq is love, you'd probably write me off as quaint, irrelevant, and hopelessly naive. But guess who said exactly that about the civil rights movement? Of course, it was Martin Luther King. Consider this passage from his Nobel Prize acceptance speech on December 10th, 1964.
Man must evolve for all human conflict a method which rejects revenge, aggression, and retaliation. The foundation of such a method is love. The torturous road which has led from Montgomery, Alabama to Oslo bears witness to this truth.
Remember, the tortuous road that Dr. King referred to included 400 years of slavery, state-sanctioned murder, and countless other forms of violent oppression. Yet, Dr. King, on his quest for human rights, wound up with love as the foundation of his movement. And it worked. Now, the civil rights movement was a long time ago and might even seem like a time of innocence, despite the historic injustices it was trying to change. But it wasn't just domestic civil rights to which King applied his ideas, again to the Nobel Peace Prize address.
I refuse to accept the cynical notion that nation after nation must spiral down a militaristic stairway into the hell of nuclear annihilation. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality.
Unconditional love is hard enough to ask for from your parents, never mind Bush and Sadr and Ahmadinejad, or at that time, Johnson and the Viet Cong. But King framed love as strength, not weakness, and he framed nonviolence as power, not passivity.
Negroes of the United States, following the people of India, have demonstrated that nonviolence is not sterile passivity, but a powerful moral force which makes for social transformation. Sooner or later, all the peoples of the world will have to discover a way to live together in peace, and thereby transform this pending cosmic elegy into a creative psalm of brotherhood.
We are a long way from a creative psalm of brotherhood as we confront death squads and troop surges. But that's all the more reason to take this important holiday seriously and turn to Dr. King not just for moral inspiration, but for a redefinition of the practical. So for Martin Luther King Day this year, I'm not just asking, wasn't he a great man? I'm asking, where are the leaders of today who are willing to mobilize for forceful nonviolent change? Where are the think tanks devoted to implementing King-style tactics in international diplomacy? They are nowhere. But before you write me off as irrelevant and quaint, think about the results of the last 4 years of war. Maybe it's the leaders we have who are hopelessly naive.